Let's have a word of prayer as we go to the Lord in the Word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be here together today to praise your name. That, Lord, I pray each one of us can honestly, within our hearts, sing truthfully that you are our shepherd, that you lead and guide us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would continue to lead and guide us today. As we look at the Word of God, we pray that the Spirit of God would work in our hearts and lives. It's in Christ's name we pray this. Amen. Well, today we conclude this short series we've been doing called Church Life. This is the 11th message on this series, and we've answered a bunch of questions like, what is a church, and what is church membership, and what does God expect from us as we are a member of the Church of God? I mean, if you think about it, many of you are coming week after week after week to this place. You probably should have some idea what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what your role is here. So probably we're going to come back to this subject a couple of years from now and a couple of years from after that and a couple of years, because we need that reminder of what God has called us to do. As we close this series, I've actually decided to speak on something a little bit different, something that maybe might surprise you a bit. Why would we conclude a series on this church with this? But I think it's an important subject, and I think it's one that we need reminding as we close down a series on the church. To get there, I want us to turn to Romans. So go to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. We do have pew Bibles for you. You can open that up on page 883, and you'll find where we are in Romans chapter 1. I want to be reading Romans chapter 1 and look specifically at verses 18 through 21. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Look at verse 18 there and what it says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This couple of verses that you have there in verses 18 through 21 starts what is known as, in the book of Romans, this spiral of depravity, as it tells us at greater lengths of sin that the Gentiles in particular indulged in. Just look back at chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, just right before that. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This book is about the power of God in salvation, but to understand the power of God in salvation, we first have to understand, why do we need to be saved in the first place? Why do we need salvation? And this is what takes up the first three chapters of the book of Romans, starting with the verses that I started with, verses 18 through 21. In these three chapters, the writer Paul is going to show that every single person in this world, whether religious or not, whether Jew or Gentile, whether male or female, is guilty of sin before the Lord. Every single person. And because they're guilty of sin before the Lord, they deserve the righteous wrath of God. In the verses I had us read, verses 18 through 21, he's talking specifically about the Gentiles and how they're guilty of sin. Now, I'm not here to talk about Romans 1 and all it has to say, but I just want to focus in on one little phrase in verse 21. Look back there at verse 21. They knew God, but what? They did not honor him as God. They did not put God, you could say, in his proper place, and naturally, what happened? Because they did not honor God as he is. Notice in the verse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, and here it is, or give thanks to him. They were unthankful to God. They lost any sense of being thankful to God. Now, if you look through, just you kind of skim while I'm talking to you, verses 22 all the way down to verse 32, and take a look at the list of all these sins that are mentioned in these verses, the spiral that this whole chapter talks about, it's pretty extensive. I mean, it actually lines up pretty well with American culture and where we've come. But it starts in this verse, in verse 21. It starts with not honoring the Lord as the Lord and not giving him his rightful place, you might say, in our lives and in our thinking. And immediately after that, it moves on to a heart that is unthankful. And from there, from an unthankful heart, all sorts of sin is led into, all sorts of problems, all sorts of issues. An ungrateful heart is a very dangerous thing. It's a dangerous attitude that can easily spread like a disease within a church. I've seen it happen before. If much of our personal depravity and sin can be traced back to an ungrateful heart, and of course not giving God his due place, then it wouldn't be much of an overstatement to say that many churches run into unnecessary division and divisive hearts and problems from a general lack of thankfulness. As we conclude this series, that's what I want to talk about this morning. Thankfulness. I think that if we as a church, Gospel Life Church, remain a thankful church, much of the problems that plague so many churches in our culture, in our area especially, will be kept at bay. That we struggle to be thankful, I think that's kind of normal of the human condition, especially in the day and age we live, right? I mean, I remember back in high school, I think it was high school, might have been junior high. I probably should have looked up the date. I just got the picture so we could have it here. But when the episode of Madame Blueberry came out and the VeggieTales, do you remember that? If you don't, that's okay. Spare yourself. This whole episode, though, is like hitting against our consumeristic culture that we live in. As Madame, or whatever you want to say, Blueberry kept trying to find happiness in the things she could buy, right? If you remember that. And so she would go home from Stuff Mart with new things, no hit on Walmart, but that's clearly what they were talking about, only to find that the stuff didn't bring her happiness. And then there was a little girl who started to sing a song. And one of the songs in the episode makes the point pretty simply that a thankful heart is a happy heart. The solution for Madame Blueberry was not more stuff. It was contentment and thankfulness for the stuff she already had. So I'm going to steal from VeggieTales that little line, a thankful heart is a happy heart, to help us actually understand how the New Testament speaks about thankfulness. To be sure, there's a lot I can cover this morning. I'm not even going into the Old Testament. You read through the Psalms, there's gratefulness and thankfulness all throughout the Old Testament. But I want to focus on thankfulness because if we start to lose gratitude for everything, for this church, for others in this church, for all that God has done, I mean, over 200 years we've been a church. How many churches have made it that long? And if we lose gratitude for all this, it won't be long before other sin starts to creep in. And then what once was a city on a hill will disappear to irrelevance for the kingdom of God. So let me ask you as we start, how are you doing in the thankfulness department? I just want to make four statements this morning to help us understand about a thankful heart from the scriptures in hopes that each one of us will continue in the Lord to be thankful, to grow in our gratitude as a church for what God has done. So let's start with the first one using that little VeggieTale line. A thankful heart is first a saved heart. A thankful heart is a saved heart. This past fall, Jonathan Reichardt spoke on the passage we're looking at, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, which says this: "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, 'I believed, and so I speak,' we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence." Now, focus in on this part of the verse. Here it is: "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people," so as the grace of God goes out and extends to more and more people, what happens? "It may increase thanksgiving to the praise and glory of God." That's a powerful verse, verse 15 there. As the grace of God extends to more and more people, the result is that there's an increase in thankfulness. More and more people become thankful for what God has done, for the experience of the great grace of God in their lives. You see that thankfulness naturally flows from a heart that's been saved and changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, "But thanks be to God that you who once were slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." When a person is forgiven from their sins and given a new life of Christ, of course, there's a new heart of thankfulness in that person, right? To be forgiven, thankfulness naturally follows from that. Now, of course, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you can't say you've been forgiven of your sins. Then really, you haven't experienced the greatest thing in the world to be thankful for, that you have a place with God in heaven for all eternity. Rather than facing the just penalty of your sins and the wrath of God, you get to be with the Lord for all eternity. I challenge you today, if you've never been forgiven your sins, to place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, "To him," that's Christ, "all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him," that is Christ, "receives forgiveness of sins through his," Christ, "name." And having been forgiven of your sins, you truly will have something to be thankful about. But even those of us who have experienced God's saving grace, you remember when you first experienced that grace, how thankful you were for that? But how easy it is we can lose that sense of gratitude, right? When we get used to something, we lose our gratitude for it, our thankfulness for it. Just to illustrate it in a dumb way, I mean, when my wife and I first moved to the Caribbean, we didn't have any warm water. So we had a shower, praise the Lord, but we didn't have any warm water. And to be honest with you, when we first moved there in July, that was not really a big deal because we didn't have AC either. So it was like, and if you've never been to the Caribbean, when you first step out of the plane, you can drink the air, okay? It is extremely, extremely warm and humid. And so, but when the temperature dropped to a freezing 79 degrees, you laugh, but if you're in, you know, don't have air conditioning, it feels pretty chilly. That water got really cold. And not only did we not have warm water, there were actually days we weren't guaranteed that we could even have a full shower. You could ask my wife about a story about that, how I used up all the water, and it all ran out in the middle of her shower. Thankfully, we were close to the ocean, so I could go get some buckets. So, but I got used to taking Navy showers there. Just, you know, get wet, soap up, rinse. Don't use the water because you never know if you're going to run out of water, and it's always freezing cold anyway, so I warmed up in between. But when we got back to the United States, it took me a while to get used to living here for a number of reasons, like going to Walmart the first time and realizing I could pick like 7 varieties of anything. But also to get used to the water. I remember when I first got here, I didn't take normal showers. It took me a while. But then, man, that first time when I was like, yeah, so let's go in, all in, hot water, 40 minutes. This is amazing. I was so grateful for the unlimited supply of water. But today, you know what? I don't even think twice about that. I just assume I'm going to have an unlimited supply of water. I'm going to have as much hot water as I want. But that's kind of a silly, dumb illustration to point out how we are a lot of times with the grace of God. We lose our sense of gratitude, forgetting how desperately we really need God's grace. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17, page 823. Writer Luke really illustrates this well. Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 19. It's on page 823 in the Pew Bible. Look at verse 7 and 10. This is the Lord reminds us of the attitude we all really should have. Verse 7, will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? And here's the point. Does he thank the servant because of what he did what he was commanded? So here's the point. Here's right to the disciples, to us. You also, when you've done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. It's clear that if we understand ourselves as unworthy servants, then any good, any grace is something to be thankful for. It is not owed to us. The Lord does not owe us anything. And so it just so happens, as Luke narrates, that he gets on to the story right after this to illustrate what happens when you think you're a worthy servant and the one who thought they were an unworthy servant. In verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. So God, Christ miraculously delivers them from this disease. Then one of them, when he saw that it was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, we're not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Out of 10 who were healed, only one expresses gratitude. Only one. And it's clear this one person was this Samaritan understood the attitude of verse 10, that he was an unworthy servant. That he was unworthy of the grace of God. He was not owed this healing. And we lose our sense of gratitude, our thankful hearts, because we lose a sense of gratefulness, because we forget how desperately we need the grace of God every day of our lives. We truly are unworthy servants. We forget how much we've been forgiven. But a thankful heart's a saved heart. Let's not lose the sense of awe and wonder at why the Lord would save any of us in the first place. None of us deserve it, yet we've received it. How can we not be thankful? Secondly, a thankful heart is a spirit-filled heart. A thankful heart is a spirit-filled heart. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Page 919, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. It says this, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're called, look at verse 18, to be filled with the Spirit. He says, don't get drunk with wine. It goes back to verse 15, which is walking wise. Here's what it looks like. Verse 18, don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, he's addressing this to the church. He's addressing this to believers, whom he earlier said in Ephesians chapter 1, were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we know from 2 Timothy 1:14, that the Holy Spirit is in every believer. So the call here in verse number 18 is not to have the Spirit indwell us, but to be filled with the Spirit, which in contrast to being drunk means controlled. Let what's inside you control you, and may it be the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit, or to walk by the Spirit, as Galatians 5 would say. Well, how do you know if you're walking by the Spirit? How do you know if you're filled by the Spirit? Verse 19, a couple of things result. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. You'll be filled with song. You'll exhort one another with truth. That's verse number 19. And notice the beginning of verse 20. How do you know if you're filled with the Spirit? You're thankful. You're thankful. You're giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be thankful for the Lord for all things, recognizing that everything comes our way is from a good God who loves and proves. He doesn't need to prove it. He's already proved his love for us. The very fact he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So a thankful heart is a Spirit-filled heart. So I think it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyways, that if we're ungrateful, if we're not thanking the Lord, if we're struggling with contentment, we most likely are not being filled with the Spirit. We're being filled with our own wants, our own desires, our own agendas. Interestingly, the parallel passage, Colossians chapter 3, I'll put it on the screen, verse 16. It's parallel to what you have here in Ephesians 5. He says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Notice, same responses, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So in Colossians, instead of being filled with the Spirit, he's saying this verse focuses on letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, which is pretty much being filled with the Spirit. Because if you're being controlled by the Spirit, guess what's controlling you? The word of God. And you're living in accordance to the word of God. So the word of God has a hold on your heart and life. And what's the result? Into that passage, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Thankfulness is a product of the Spirit as he takes the word of God and applies it to our hearts and lives. So a thankful heart is a Spirit-controlled heart. If we had a church filled with people who are filled by the Holy Spirit, guess what we're going to have? A church that is thankful. A church that is grateful. Let's move on to the next two. Got to fly here. Here we go. Third one. A thankful heart is a testifying heart. Tried to think of an S that worked, but it didn't work. A thankful heart. So then I just gave up. Last one doesn't even try. A thankful heart is a testifying heart. There's a normal and natural connection between being thankful for something and testifying to others about that very thing. You ever think about that? We live in a review culture online, right? How many of you, you're going to check a place out, what are you going to do? You're going to look for the median reviews. Don't look at the extremes. But you're going to go and look at reviews, right? Why? Because someone who is thankful for what they experience are going to let everybody know about what they experience. They want others to buy into it. I'm telling you, that's how I feel pretty recently about my physical therapy. I've been very happy with my physical therapy. I'm surprised I can do what I can do. For what God's done. Thank you for all your prayers, by the way. I know a lot of you are praying. I never thought I could not actually feel pain in one day. So thank you. But I'll tell you what, you come to me and say, I'm looking for a physical therapist. I'll say, let me tell you about this person. Because I'm thankful for what they've done in my life. Well, in Luke 2, what's interesting is we find Anna filled with gratitude in her heart, and as a result, testifying to what God was doing in the world through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. So all of that's letting us know that Anna is dedicated to the Lord. Her agenda is God's agenda. God's agenda is her agenda. And coming up at that very hour when she had seen Jesus, she began to give thanks to God and then what? To speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. When she saw Jesus, the one she'd been waiting for so many years, she gives thanks to God, and naturally she turns around and testifies about what God's doing. She gives a review, you might say, to try to get others to come and see. It was natural for her to speak of Jesus because she was so thankful for finally seeing the Messiah. And for many of us, you remember when you first came to Christ? And like, people were annoyed with you because you wouldn't stop telling about the great grace of God. You're like, we heard it already, stop. You're just so excited and so grateful, and so everybody just had to hear. But maybe we've lost some of that zeal and passion for the Lord because we've lost the sense of gratitude and the great grace that we've been given. Man, but if we had a church, waked up and every morning and said, okay, first, Lord, thank you for another day. No, I don't deserve that. Thank you for whatever sleep, even though I have a young child who keeps me up. Thank you that I got some. But I desperately need you, and apart from your grace, I'd be lost. That I'd be doomed to destruction. If we had a church that woke up every day and thanked the Lord for that, man, we'd have a thankful church, wouldn't we? I think we'd have a church ready to testify a little bit. Testify of the great grace of what God has done in our lives. I was really encouraged and blessed this past week during Gospel Life Night. If you weren't here, this is not to shame you. It's just to tell you what was going on. That was so cool. I mean, for 30 minutes, we sing and to the Lord and hear testimonies. And I had reserved two testimonies. Because, you know, it's nothing awkward when, like, okay, who wants a testimony? And we're all looking around. Actually, what happens is everybody looks down like this and pretends that we don't exist for a minute. And you know, so you got to wet the whistle a little bit. Let's get it going. And man, I couldn't keep you guys. I like, stop. Enough testimonies. We got to keep moving on. It was so neat to hear testimony after testimony. People who had experienced the grace of God in their lives, and they just wanted to tell everybody else about it. It was such a blessing. We had a church who was thankful to the Lord, and they just had to let everybody know. I was so encouraged as a pastor that I couldn't even share my two testimonies. I just shared one about my back, so there's one of them. They have to come and talk to me about the other one sometime. A thankful heart is a testifying heart. It's a spirit-filled heart. It's a saved heart. Last point as we move on. I couldn't think of a good way to put this. I hate outlining sermons. A thankful heart is a growing heart. It kind of reminds me of the Grinch, right? His heart was two sizes too small. And as he grew in his appreciation for Christmas, so he grew, right? And that's kind of the idea here. I guess that's what I'm getting at. A heart that is thankful is one that is growing in the Lord. Which, of course, makes sense because that means we're saved and it means we're being filled by the Spirit, right? It means we're being controlled by the Spirit. And so thankfulness becomes an attitude that permeates everything we do in the Lord. All that we do is seasoned with thanksgiving. As we walk our lives in thanksgiving, day in and day out, Colossians chapter 2, 6 through 7, therefore as you receive Christ, so walk in him, how? Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, and also notice, abounding in thanksgiving. As you walk, you're abounding in thanksgiving. Our attitude is one of thanksgiving. Our prayers will be prayers that are characterized by thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. How? With thanksgiving. Of course, the call to be thankful in our praying means that we're growing in the Lord, and our hearts are growing in a love for the Lord, and our prayers are filled with thanksgiving to the Lord. That's the type of prayer we need when we're worried. Any of you worried? Come on, we're worried. And how do we pray in light of the worries of this world? Well, thanksgiving is actually a key part of the fight of anxieties in our hearts. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. As you are praying to the Lord and you show thankfulness, do you think that'll affect your worry? You're going to put your eyes off of you and where? On the Lord. I didn't say any of that was easy, by the way. but it permeates everything. We pray with thanksgiving. We're thankful in the present, and we can rest assured that God knows about the unknown. Your anxiety is telling you what's going to happen, but God knows what's going to happen. And so we just trust Him and be thankful to Him. Thanksgiving increases in our lives as we grow more and more into conformity of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we come to the end of our church life series. We're a group of people covenanted together, serving one another on a mission to share the gospel with this community. We're teeing you up with the EC outreach. I'm telling you, it's a great way to engage with people in the community, all to the praise and glory of God. You want something to be thankful about? Look around. Look at each other. Look what God's done. Such a variety of people. I mean, you all are different. But what a great God of grace we have, huh? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I confess that, man, I struggle with Thanksgiving a lot. And too often, that leads me to so many other attitudes and actions that are just not good. There, because I'm not being led by the Spirit. I pray that we'd be a church led by the Spirit. I pray as we close this series that, Lord, we'd be the church you've called us to be, because we love you and we want to honor you, and you'd give us a heart to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing it's your work that you're doing through us, not by our own strength or our own power, but Lord, you've called us to do it. All to the praise and honor and glory of your name, I ask in Christ's name.